Well, today marks the first weekend as we enter our fourth year of doing the program Truth to Ponder. I want to spend some time on this program giving you some behind-the-scenes information and then looking a bit toward the future.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
Now, for those that only hear this program on the weekends, I want to share with you what I share with the audience on the 31st of August, when we marked completing 3 years and entering our fourth year of producing the daily radio program and podcast, Truth to Ponder. Now, I'm aware that many individuals only hear this program on the weekend, and I'm thankful for each and every one of you. And I try primarily on the weekend edition to kind of recap a little bit about what has transpired in the days before, give you a message of hope, and look toward the future. This program was birthed out of an idea in the summer of 2020. Now, since 2015, I have been producing a weekend-only radio program called Your Weekend Show. It aired on International Shortwave. It was a small podcast. It also aired on the Voice of Hope in Africa and elsewhere. That program was kind of a magazine format. It varied from week to week. But when 2020 came along, so many things were happening, not just in my nation, the United States, or Canada to the north, or the United Kingdom, or Australia. Globally, there were news stories breaking out that were unprecedented in so many ways, and they were causing me deep concern. My firsthand, not secondhand, my firsthand exposure to what was going on early in the pandemic of 2020 in my emergency management work was an eye-opener. And I became increasingly concerned in those first 4, 5, and almost 6 months of the year 2020. We had heard about something traveling around Asia, might even have seen a few cases in Europe. We got through the end of 2019, and then beginning in January, the stories would come more frequently. I can remember my real goals for 2020 were purely in ministry. My wife and I were in a place in life where I was doing less secular work, and my time was wide open to really invest the rest of my life into planning churches and doing what I considered important work. And we had planned a meeting of like-minded clergy within my own denominational group to meet in St. Augustine, Florida, around the 20th of February. That got canceled, not because of COVID, but because of weather. A number of people traveling in from the northeastern United States and even in middle Virginia were hampered by a snowstorm. And so the meeting was put off until either end of March or after Easter. Well, obviously, as many of you understand now, right about the time, within days of that canceled meeting, the COVID narrative began to crank up. I received a telephone call one evening from an individual I'd worked with for years in emergency management, asking if I would consider coming out of retirement and working for a while. We didn't know how long a while would be. Maybe we're talking a few weeks. Maybe we're talking a month or two or three. And I thought about it, and I agreed, and I said yes. And so, instead of having this conference as planned, I started seeing the news and all the inside information about this pandemic that was beginning to encompass the world, and also some of the very dire predictions that were around at that time. And so as February came to an end, I headed first from our home in Georgia to our little place in the mountains of Georgia, where I got everything together I would need to take with me on to my next destination, where I'd be staying and working for the foreseeable future. I went into this position, as I've told many before, with an open mind and an open heart to do what needed to be done to help a community and a county. What did you and I know back then? Only what we were seeing and hearing, that there was some kind of a pandemic, and this had a uncomfortably high fatality rate for many people. And so, of course, my servant's heart said, go do the job. Help these people out. Make sure that you do your best job. But as I got deeper into my time in that particular position, it became increasingly clear that the narrative had some holes in it. There was something wrong with this narrative. There was something that wasn't true. And as the weeks went by and the weeks turned into months and the 15 days to flatten the curve was going on to month number three, and the numbers we were being told to expect were never occurring, this voice, one morning, early in the morning, I woke up. It was a weekend. And I was staying at a hotel because I was so far from home, I couldn't get to my home. So I just had to stay there 7 days a week, living in a hotel with no staff. That only showed up occasionally to pick up your laundry bag you left outside and leave you a new laundry bag to make your own bed. There was no nothing. We just had a key to get in and out of the building. Drive-through windows, contact-free purchasing, you name it. About 3 o'clock in the morning, this voice said, get out, it's time to leave. Get out, it's time to go. And I remember that Monday morning talking with my friend who had asked me to come, and I said, listen, I've got to wrap this up. I think my time here is over. And he said, just finish the documentation and some other things, which would take probably most of that week. And then just, you know, head to your home in Georgia. You can get back in a day or so from there. And let's see what plays out for the next week or two. So by the end of that week, I left, went to Georgia, followed the news, and decided after about 10 days to head to Florida, pick up my wife, return to Georgia just in case, but also to know my wife would be, quote, safer. Once again, what did we know back at that time as we got into May? I was getting suspicious, and so were many other people. But there we went in May, end of May, to our place in Georgia. And I was still doing your weekend show, and I started thinking about maybe I need to do a temporary extended program, maybe do a video cast, a video podcast, something, maybe do something on shortwave, but on a more frequent basis. And the idea of Truth to Ponder was born. I started building a future website, started thinking about what this program would be about, and started trying to find, do I want to do this as a podcast or on the radio? And I thought about it, didn't think about it for long. One morning it just came to me, do the program on shortwave. Everybody and their kid brother's doing a podcast. There are like 25,000 podcasts to compete with out there. and it's hard to be found. And that's just in the genre that I'm doing. I'm one of 25,000, probably a higher number now, just in the United States, around the world, who knows? And unless you're well-financed by some big company like iHeartRadio or Spotify or other handful of places, you're going to have a tough time gaining an audience. Whether it be an audio podcast or a video podcast doesn't make any difference. So I knew being simply a podcast would probably be insufficient. And so I prayed about it. And I was talking one day to a friend of mine in Florida, who God had blessed in many, many ways. And I said, I'm thinking about doing something, but I'm not in a position to make the initial investment to get it started. I wish I was. I'm retired now. We're trying to plan for our future. And hopefully, if this pandemic comes to an end and we get past the election, who knows where this world is going to be? And he said, Bob, I believe you have a voice that needs to be heard. What would it take to get it started? And I gave him a figure. It wasn't that much. And he sent a check for that amount. And I contacted the radio stations that I ended up being on, negotiated a price and some airtime. And on Monday, the 31st of August in 2020, the first broadcast was given. I shared the opening part on yesterday's program. I'm not going to do it again today, but I shared those opening moments talking about this new radio program and the challenges we face and the approach this program would take to look at all of the events in our world today from a distinctly Christian worldview point of view. It's been a very fascinating time these past 3 years that are now behind us. And as I listened to the first episode of the program earlier this week, to remind myself of where we were, all I can tell you is the Bible is so true. There's nothing new under the sun. We are still fighting the same battles, the same deception, the same evil, the same issues that we faced 3 years ago. If anything, the intensity of the fight we are in is growing. And during these 3 years, by the providence of God's Holy Spirit, I've come to an understanding of the real battle in which we face. It's not a political battle. It's not an election battle. It's even more than a battle of good versus evil. It's deeper than that. All of these things we see in fear, in COVID, in vaccinations, a new word that has become more commonplace in the past 3.5 years, mandatory this, mandatory that, mandatory wearing of a face covering, mandatory social distancing, mandatory shutdowns of businesses. You have to obey. You must follow orders or else. This is something that was very commonplace in socialist and communist nations. Draconian, mandatory compliance. Teachers, authority figures, administrators, security, military, economic police, border guards, anything. You had to comply. It was mandatory. Or else. We saw in Canada that if you even dare protest, legally protest, the insane government of Canada And that's what they are. The leadership of that country is absolutely certifiably satanically possessed and insane, cutting off people's bank accounts. You don't dare challenge the narrative, the satanic narrative, to put you into compliance. It's mandatory. You believe everything you're told, even if what we're telling you is a lie. Mandatory. It's crept into our schools. Mandatory for little kids to wear face coverings, even though every bit of known scientific research indicated children don't spread the virus, and a face mask does absolutely nothing to protect you from getting or spreading any kind of a virus. That's a known fact. Mandatory vaccinations for a vaccine that they told us would keep us from getting or spreading COVID, and it was a lie. That vaccine never did stop you from getting, never did stop you from spreading. If anything, it increased the number of mutations and variations. And that, to me, is a very, very scary thought. If you challenge the narrative, if you ever challenge the narrative, think about this for a moment. They want to silence you, cancel you from social media, fire you from your jobs, destroy you economically, destroy your reputation. For a while, this program, well, back in 2015, I'll say this much. Back in 2015, this program was distributed on two different podcast sites, and also the audio was available on YouTube. Not that there were, it wasn't a huge audience back in the days of your weekend show. It was just a small audience, and of course aired on the radio stations. But that changed. I started noticing that many, many programs that I had produced that were on YouTube had totally vanished. They were taken down after it became Truth to Ponder. And I started challenging the fake and phony narrative. I was called a purveyor of disinformation. My use of Twitter was highly restricted. And I started realizing that I needed to find other outlets. So in all honesty, one of the things that I did, the podcast went to a new primary outlet. I had used Spreaker for a long time. I still am using Spotify. I haven't had too much trouble yet. But I've used a company called Podpoint, which is a Christian organization, so they're less likely to take down the podcast. But I know I'm running on borrowed time. Sure, I'm being distributed on iTunes and a bunch of places, but how long will that last? Not a week goes by that you don't hear about some story where someone's been kicked off of a platform. A group called OutKick was locked out of YouTube over a set of comments made by Tommy Lahren over vaccines that don't work. It got flagged and they got kicked off. Apple has kicked off Glenn Beck. Whether you agree with everything he says or not is irrelevant. But Apple Podcast decided a well-listened-to program, because they decided they didn't like the narrative, even though it was true, just because they didn't like it, canceled. And that's what I have feared for this program in the podcast side for quite a long time. So I've got a thought. I want to share this idea with you. Of course, I want to make this clear. If anything, I want to increase the presence on shortwave. We're working toward that. I pray toward that each and every day to increase this outreach on shortwave. Not just for the United States and Canada, but into Australia, into Europe. But I also want to increase the outreach, at least while the window is still open, the door is still open, and we still have access. I want to take a little time in the remainder of this year of 2023 to really kick up this podcast a notch and put it in many locations. Not one big one, but many locations. Promoted through different avenues. In essence, I want to be hiding in plain sight and trust God by His Holy Spirit to lead people into these many avenues and then point them into backup locations that are not controlled by the tech tyrants. Think about that. Granted, my podcast is available on Google and Apple and a lot of other well-known places. I think about a half a dozen to a dozen right now. I'd like to have it out to virtually every podcast platform and then begin to move people toward the place we will retreat. My heart is telling me we're coming into a very unusual time again. Look how the COVID narrative is being upticked just in time for the 2024 election. And I've used the term, this is called the election con variant. Looking at those that have claimed to have been died of COVID, turns out that 98.3% of anybody that died, quote, of COVID, did not die of COVID in recent weeks. They may have tested positive, may have had no symptoms, but they're dying of cancer. They're dying of heart attacks. They're dying of COPD, traffic accidents, you name it, but they're not dying of COVID. This is being ramped up again to force you into mandatory compliance, mandatory obedience, mandatory accepting of a narrative. And we've seen a reprobate government here in the United States and in Canada and elsewhere, imposing unnecessary and scientifically bankrupt lockdowns and mandates. Church, hey, I pastor a church. When we started this church, it is prepared from day one to be online if necessary and go underground if needed. If you run a church, if you're a pastor, be prepared to be shut out again. Your voice needs to be silenced by those who are satanically possessed to keep the truth from getting out. The spirit of Antichrist is running free around the world today in ways you and I could never have envisioned just 10 years ago or 20 years ago. And it's only going to get worse. Oh yeah, there are times we have a few victories, but the overall trajectory is staying the same. So, as we enter this fourth year, I come to you with this question. Is this voice valuable? Is it needed? Will you help me grow it? While the opportunity is there before the opportunity is taken away and the door closes. We need to reach as many people as humanly possible in a short amount of time to be prepared for what is coming in 2024. I can't do it on my own. I can't do it without your help and your prayers. I want to increase both shortwave and podcast at the same time, and then have people looking for the backup. If you believe in this ministry, today is the day to go to the website, truth2ponder.com, truth2ponder.com, or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio, Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. That's Post Office Box 510. The city is Chilhowie, C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E, Chilhowie, Virginia. And the zip code in Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. That's 24319. Ancient Word Radio, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
A Jew without guilt coming up. Shalom Aleichem. This is the nice Jewish boy, Jonathan Kahn, your Jewish connection. Bring you the riches of your Jewish roots in Jesus. Now get your pen out as fast as you can so you don't miss out on receiving a special gift in a moment. Now, the Jewish culture, it's the most sin-conscious, guilt-conscious culture in the world. The Jewish culture, as soon as you're born, your first memory is hearing your mother say, "You know what you put me through? 9 months of headaches, throwing up, backaches, back pains. What am I? Nothing. I'm your mother. Is that any way to treat your mother? Don't even think of asking for a bottle." The most sin-conscious, guilt-conscious culture on earth. And yet the disciples, Jewish, spent 3.5 years with Yeshua, Jesus, Jewish, seeing all. And they could write that he was without one sin. They could not name one sin. They called him sinless. I mean, can you imagine that? If they could write that in being Jewish, aside from being human, then he had to be. I mean, how many other people can you think of where people could spend 3.5 years with them every day and say there was not even one sin, not anything less than perfection? What life could be that? Only one, the life of God in this world. Imagine spending so much time with somebody and never seeing even one fault. Well, you are spending so much time with somebody, the same one. And a lot of times you wonder, a lot of times his own people think they find fault with him. God, why'd you let this happen? Or why didn't you do this? Why? But you know what? He was without sin then and he's without sin now. He's without fault then and blame and without fault now. Stop questioning him so much. Stop even demanding so much. He knows what you need. He knows what you want. He knows what's best and he loves you. He's sinless. You know, we're not. So that would lead any wise person to do less talking and more listening. Listen to him, let him lead, because you're walking with someone unlike anybody else, Messiah, Yeshua, Jesus, this perfect, sinless, blameless, guiltless one. Want more? Ask for God on the Blue Planet on CD. You'll love it. Now, how often do you have something offered to you? Priceless, wonderful, life-changing, and free. Here goes right now. Sapphire is, it's as precious as it sounds, guaranteed to help you live a life of joy and victory. An incredible Mystery of the Temple Doors on CD. You'll love it. Priceless and free. How do you get this? Easy. To receive your free gifts, just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's the name of Jesus, Yeshua. You will be blessed, but call now, 1-800-YESHUA-1, Yeshua-1. Now, I invite you to join me in bringing salvation back to God's ancient people, Israel. The Bible promises, God promises he will bless those especially who bless the Jewish people and reach out to all peoples over the world through shortwave radio. Is amazing. How? Just call 1-800-YESHUA-1. That's YESHUA-1. Or you can write me direct. Here's how. Just write to the nice Jewish boy, Box 1111. It's in Lodi, L-O-D-I, New Jersey, 07644. That's 1111, Lodi, New Jersey, 07644. Till next time, this is Jonathan Kahn saying, Shalom Aleichem, peace be to you, my friend, in Messiah, Or Haolam, the light of the world.
Is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
And welcome back to part two of our weekend edition of Truth to Ponder. And I'm your host, Bob Bierman. Want to take a moment right now to thank each and every one of you that support and pray for this radio program and podcast. You will never know how humbling it is to receive some of the emails that I get from many of you that listen. And your support is vital. It keeps us going and keeps us growing in these uncertain times ahead. I'm the first to tell you, my wife and I are experiencing firsthand the things that many of you are going through in this terrible worldwide economy. Don't believe the lie that it's great. It's bad. It's a deception. You know it, and I know it. But too many people put their hope and trust in politicians, elections, and people, and non, shall we say, Christian entities. and church and what God has to say becomes less and less important in way too many people's lives. And I know it. I mean, people that I know that are conservative, everything is all about politics. Just vote the right guy in and we fix it. No, you won't. And I'm getting really tired of hearing this. We need to start by changing one life at a time and bring that person to repentance in Jesus Christ. The word of the media, it will fail. The word of politicians will die. The words of ideologies will fade into the mist of history. And those that were deceived will pay the price. Heaven and earth will pass away, but God's word will not pass away. Politicians' words will. But God's word, no. Political parties will come and go. Nations will come and go. The United States, I believe, is getting close to its end if things don't change. And I'm not seeing a whole lot of hope that it's going to change anytime soon. We'll talk about that more next week. What we need to do is spend more time making that commitment to redouble our effort. If you are a believer in Jesus Christ, that is where your hope is, not in politicians. Lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, not here on this earth where rust gets in, moss, corruption, and all of that. You don't need that. And too many Christians are staying away from the church. Will you stay away from the church during the next pandemic again and stay home and watch it on Zoom? Or are you going to be saying enough is enough? I stand for Jesus Christ, not the Antichrist. God's word is powerful. This past Sunday, I preached a message about the power and the importance of God's word to Trinity Chapel in Southwest Virginia. I invite you into that service. Heavenly Father, as we come to this time, as we go into your word, I pray you'll open our eyes to see, our ears to hear, and our hearts to receive what you have for us this day. For this I ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Words. We write books with words. We communicate with each other with words. Children at a young age begin to learn words. How many times have you had a child or grandchild and they're making noise and you say, use your words? I know that I've had experience with some grandkids and I've had plenty of time to go, Carrie, use your words. Haley, use your words. Heather, use your words. And they have to pause for a moment, think about it, and then they're able to express what's on their heart and their mind. There's an interesting passage in Scripture, and I'll deal with it a little bit later, not so much today, in a future message. There are times when we do not know what to pray. And St. Paul says sometimes there's some groanings and moanings, and as the Spirit through us expresses what we can't even put into words. How many times have you heard the expression, words failed me? When somebody dies or some tragedy strikes and you want to speak to them, words fail you. How do you express in mere language such an intense emotion? It's impossible. There are no words for some of the things we deal with in life. You cannot communicate it out of your mouth. All of us either have or will experience that in their lifetime. Sometimes more than once. sometimes multiple times. St. Paul says we see through a glass dimly. When we look at all the things going on in our world today, it's hard for us to begin to even comprehend all that God understands. And words printed in Scripture would not be enough for us to fully comprehend the glory of an almighty God. The Bible uses the term the Shekinah glory of God, the kind of glory you can't even use your own eyes to see. Words. God's word has power. My words have some power, very limited power. All of us have words. All of us, and I know for myself, over the years, I've been more than guilty thousands of times of inappropriate words. Things said in criticism, things said in emotions, thing that you wish you could take back. Why was I so angry? The little video reminds us words, that little member can do a lot of damage. But here's the good news. God's words are more powerful, more consuming, and more healing than any words that we have within us. Amen. His word brought this universe into play. This globe that we live upon to spin in a perfect orbit, an elliptical orbit around a sun. That's by his word. Can your words do that? No. We can hurt one another. We can love one another. We can encourage one another. But we can't create with our words like God can create. St. John made it clear. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. Nothing was made without, and the Greek word was logos, the Word. And then the Word became flesh and dwelt among men, that we could find redemption in Christ Jesus. Jesus is the Word of God. He's also the spotless Lamb of God. When I was thinking about this Sunday, and Mark had suggested some music we can use here at the church, and I was looking for this music, and I finally found the licensable music tracks we could use here today. Word of God speak. And I dwelled on that thought for a little bit. I'm just dwelling on the titles of the song. I really hadn't listened to it yet. Word of God speak. And I was initially reminded of a really old hymn, O Word of God Incarnate, O Wisdom from on High. Truth unchanged, unchanging. A light in our darkness. And everything about God's Word. What is God's Word also? Light? Power? Holiness, healing. You can add all the attributes to what God's word is. And I think we take it for granted because of our limited language. Look, I'm just a mediocre speaker. I do my thing. I'm an old disc jockey, so I'm used to at least speaking. But the words that I'm speaking to you today are not the wisdom of Bob Bierman. They're the wisdom of Almighty God, expressed in his word, written in Scripture, and written on my heart, and instructed by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is not something that I'm so good at. This is something God is good at, and he uses any of us to do it. Those that are willing to submit under his authority and under his Holy Spirit. What words do we use when talking to our friends about important things? Now, I know, believe me, I know,
been there where you get together with people you work with, and what do you talk about? Work. You get together with people that maybe you share a sports interest with, and what do you talk about? Football, basketball, baseball. I'm not that much into those, but I've got some family that is, and boy, they'll talk to you for hours about everything you ever wanted to know about any particular football team. And when it's desperate, in the winter, basketball. That's a desperation. But they're waiting patiently for the next football season. Saturdays and Sundays, if it wasn't for ESPN, they'd have no life at all. How often do we share in our words the Word of God with others? David in the Psalm reminds us, God, your word is a lamp unto my feet, a light unto my path. Your word is power. Your word is changing, life-changing. Your word is holy. The purpose of the church. Big fancy Bible word from the Greek. Ekklesia. Ekklesia. Remember, the first time I saw that word, and it was written out there with an E and a K and all the kind of Greek lettering, and I couldn't, if you were to ask me to remember what those letters were today, after all the years since I first looked at it, I couldn't tell you. I cheat. I use an English version. What it really means, sometimes we talk about the church. And to most people, the church is what this building is. You know, I go to this church, that church, the other church. I'm a member here, or I attend there, or I used to go to this church. But a church is not a building. A church is an assembly of the living body of Christ. Every one of us is a member of that living body. That's the church. This happens to be the building the church meets in, the church gathers in, the church worships and prays for each other in, receives his goodness and blessings in. But this building is not the church. It's just a building. When we're not here, it's just a building. But what sets us apart from, let's say the Moose Club down the road or any other club or organization? We gather around the living Word of God, a word that changes us from within. I've often, when we first thought about this building, this goes back literally a year ago, first time I ever saw it. It was over a year ago that we had a chance to kind of wander in and take a little peek. It hadn't been used in years, and it looked like time had stood still, and everybody had just walked away, and there was still candy in a candy dish. There were still papers and even some Bibles and things and personal possessions still sitting in the pews. The building, let's just say, needed some extra tender, loving care. And for months, this building weighed on me. That's all it is a building. But it was a place where people had gathered in God's name before. Why not again? Is there any reason it can't? Is there any reason it shouldn't? And we started discussing the concept, the idea. Could this be a church for a community? But also understanding the dynamics in which we live. And this is becoming even more clear to me every day. My wife can attest to this. I said, if we do this church, we have to take it to a different place than a lot of churches today are ready to do. Some are better than others now, which is good. They learned their lesson in 2020 and 2021. Your doors can be shut. You can be locked out. Where's the church going to gather? And I said, I'm going to make sure we can gather online, if nothing else. I'm going to make sure we can record these services, even if it's only myself in here with maybe one other person, to get it out to everybody. We have the ability, if need be, to share communion in the small cups with the elements all together to be taken at home if we come down to that. I want to be ready because, you know, the Bible also talks about, and this is what I was going to get into next week, and this is where in putting together the next couple of weeks, I almost had the wrong gospel lesson. I started typing it for next week, and I was typing on the old bulletin. And it talks about that, when all of a sudden you're not going to be able to meet, you're not going to be able to share, you're not going to be able to do any of this in the way you'd like to. I believe the Word of God, it's mighty, it's powerful, it's a two-edged sword. It can change lives. It can bring healing. It's the only place we'll really ever find peace. Not going to find it in this world. I remind my radio audience of one thing. A lot of people will talk about, well, we can fix it with an election. We can do it with this. We can do it with that. We can do it with the other. And I say, no. The psalmist David says, do not put your trust in princes or the sons of men. In other words, don't put your hope in politics. Come on. It may reflect who we are, but it's not who we are to be. It starts with changing one life at a time in Christ Jesus. That's where you fix things. You don't fix it in the institutions of men. You fix it in the Word of God, which is power. The same power that put the universe into motion, that causes the sun to come up in the morning, to set in the west at night, for us to be spinning at so many thousands of miles per hour as we speed around for 365 days around the sun and make this multi-million mile trip. And it's hard for us to even envision how God has tied all this together. Our world spinning around, other worlds spinning around, moons spinning around worlds, and then suns spinning around other suns, in all different planes and azimuths. And when we look at those stars at night, the light you may be seeing today was millions upon millions of years ago. And we think our institutions and our mere words can fix things. The most important thing, I'm going to close with this thought. The most important thing I can do as a pastor is to present you the Word of God. You don't need my opinion. You don't need my thoughts on the matter. You don't need my wisdom. Believe me, you don't need my wisdom. You need the wisdom that is contained in God's Word. And we don't have to understand the complexities at all. The details are not for us to have to be concerned. By His Word, we are here. By His Word, we can be saved and redeemed because of the shedding of His Son's blood. And by His Word, there'll be a new Jerusalem, a new heaven, and a new earth. The Bible declares it. The same Word that created what we see has yet more creation to create. But for today, and this is my final line from the psalmist, Lord, by your word, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Heavenly Father, may the word that you have given us move in this place by the power of your Holy Spirit. May it move through airwaves. May it move through the ether of the internet. May it move in the hearts of people all over. May it descend like dew and give us peace. May it come to us in power. And may we experience all that you have for us. Lord, may your word so be grafted upon our hearts. For this we ask in Jesus' name. And all the congregation said, amen and amen.
This is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. is Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman.
So what can I add to that message that I shared to my congregation last week about the power and the authority of God's Word? Too many Christians around the world feel they need to subject themselves under political authority more than God's authority, more than God's law, more than God's Word. And they're making an enormous mistake. St. Peter declares, when you come to a crossroad between doing what government says and what God says to do, you always do what God says to do. You never count that cost. You just do it. I believe we're coming into a time very soon when there's going to be a parting of the sheep and the goats. Those that trust God's word and those that give God's word lip service. That day is approaching rapidly. Just when you thought things were getting better, you can count on the power of Antichrist to ramp things back up, to force you into mandatory compliance. It's for your safety. It's for your own good. Don't believe it. That is the same lie that the Antichrist spirit has been using for thousands upon thousands of years. Peace and safety. And you get none. The only hope we have is found in Jesus Christ, period. We do this radio program and podcast for those that hear it on a once-a-week basis, or for those that hear it Monday through Friday, those that hear it as a podcast when they are able. We have completed 3 years of putting this program out each and every day. It's been my honor to be the host of this program. And I look to the year to come, and I see some great opportunity. There could be additional airings on shortwave. There could be many more podcast outlets. The word needs to get out while we have time. I really believe in calling believers together in such a way to encourage one another, not just in our own communities, but even in a larger scale global community of Christians, to be prepared for what is coming next. I want to be one of hundreds, if not thousands, of voices doing that work. Do you believe in this work? We really need your help more than you'll ever know. You can support us from our website, truth2ponder.com. truth2ponder.com. Or make a check or money order payable to Ancient Word Radio. Ancient Word Radio, Post Office Box 510. Post Office Box 510. Chilhowie, Virginia. C-H-I-L-H-O-W-I-E. Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319. Once again, P.O. Box 510, Chilhowie, Virginia, 24319.
This has been Truth to Ponder with Bob Bierman. To find out more, visit our website, truth2ponder.com. That's truth2ponder.com. Truth to Ponder, shining the light of truth in a darkening world.